We have a great God. He has not been hidden. He is very much alive and available. Today we have the privilege of worshiping Him, and it ought to be our prayer anytime we open the Word of God. What do you have to say to us so that you may live through us? I mean, that's the beauty of knowing Christ, is that He wants to transform us into His, you know, into Christ's likeness, so that we would be ambassadors for Him in this world, that people would see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven. Isn't that the goal? I'm thankful that we can worship weekly. I know across the nation there's great debate whether we should even be gathering together, but even at risk, if it was outlawed, I still want to get together with you. I want to be socially distanced and be very conservative and sensitive to the needs of those around me. But we need to worship our God, and nobody should hinder us from that. And I'm thankful that we have the privilege here in the state of Georgia to gather and worship our Lord and to love one another. We need one another. Isolation is not a good thing. And so I hate it during this season. Mike and I both have, you know, we've had so many people in our sanctuary, in our membership and others that we're connected with that have been to the hospital, and we can't go visit them. We can't really connect with them. And you may be able to talk with them over the phone, or some people prefer text, but there's that physical closeness that brings some healing in that. And so I'm sad that we can't do that in these days, but we can worship our Lord. He is very much near, very present, and very active, and so we need to just trust Him. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 6? Today, my plan is to conclude Mark, chapter 6, and that'll be the conclusion of my time in Mark while we're here at Crossroads. Next week, I'm not 100% sure what I'll be preaching. I've been praying over that, and I've gone through, you know, a lot of different things in my mind, but I haven't solidified that, and I probably won't until I step up here next Sunday morning. For today, I was satisfied the Lord allowed me to at least finish this chapter and seeing how great our God is. Been looking at Jesus developing His disciples so that they would become disciples that make disciples, He came to give His life as a ransom for many, and therefore He wanted His disciples to proclaim that. And as He's going from town to town, city to city, and He's teaching and proclaiming the gospel, and He's healing many, the disciples have been observers. Now they've stepped into the realm of being replicators in some way. They're still in training, and they've gone out and done some things. Now they've come back, and now they're getting some additional lessons of seeing how great our Jesus is, our Savior is, and the power that's available to them as disciples as they're going to go out and do the same thing. And that has continued on for 2,000 years, that we step into the sandals of the disciples, those original apostles. We're not apostles, but we are followers of the teachings that were established through Jesus and handed down to us, that we get the privilege of living out the same truths with the same Holy Spirit at our disposal. He's in our lives, and we can communicate the same gospel and have the same effect that they did, which is pretty powerful. In Mark chapter 6, for the last couple of weeks, we looked at how Jesus is the provider. You know, He feeds the hungry. We saw that. He gives rest, and He feeds the hungry. We see that Jesus is our peace. We looked at that last week as He cared for the helpless, and this is the disciples there in that storm. And today, as we conclude Mark chapter 6, it's Jesus is our physician. And oftentimes when we say physician about Christ, we say the great physician. He is the great physician. He heals the hurting, as He's going to be touching the lives of those in that particular community. But He's still healing and helping us today. I'm going to give you just two major observations, and I'm going to give some application for this. You look down at verse 53. We only got a few verses today. Doesn't mean my sermon will be shorter. It just means there's a few verses. The first observation I want you to see is this, that Jesus is a physician for those in need. It's pretty simple. We'll put that up on the screen if you need some help. If you're at home, you know, take some notes. Short pencil's better than a long memory. So write it down. It'll help you to remember that Jesus is a physician for those in need. Look at verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. Now, I want you to notice, and when you read the scriptures, I know it's difficult when we go verse by verse because we just take little snippets and then we move on our way down. But when you read the entirety of scripture, sometimes we miss this. when we see where they are, you ought to say, is that where they're supposed to be? And of course you'll say, well, of course, that's where God wanted them. Is that where they were headed? So you need to make observation about these cities, and it's helpful. Did you know that there are maps in the back of your Bible most of the time? And I had a seminary professor used to say, I believe the entire Bible is inspired from Genesis to the maps. And I don't know if the maps are inspired, but they are certainly helpful to us. So you see a town like Gennesaret. Anybody know where that is? Anybody from there? Yeah, I didn't think so. All right, but just a few verses. I do want you to pay attention. Look up at verse 45. Where were they going? And this is an out loud type of interaction. Where are they going? Bethsaida. Do you see that? All right, so that's where they were going. They got into the ship. Remember, they had already taken care of feeding the crowd and all, and Jesus now wants them a little time of rest that he puts into the boat, and he sends them across so that they go to Bethsaida. And then the storm takes place. It's just a miraculous storm that just out of nowhere. Jesus was not with them on the boat on this particular storm. He was on the shore and praying for them, praying for the ministry. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of the storm, they look out, and it looks like a ghost, but it's Jesus walking on the water. Pretty miraculous here. And this is not the story, even though it's the same time period that Matthew deals with it, where Peter gets out of the boat and walks to him. Mark doesn't focus on that. Mark's not emphasizing going, look how great Peter is, he can walk on the water. No, it's that they're in trouble and they need Jesus in their boat. And Jesus walks on the water, gets in the boat, all calm takes place, and then they go to the shore. They have been blown so far off course, they didn't get to go where they thought they were going to go. And that's so true in our lives. When Jesus gets in our boat, sometimes he takes us in places that we didn't know we were headed. The place they were headed, actually, was a place of more comfort. Peter, Andrew, were from Bethsaida. That's where they were headed. It was going to, oh, we're going to get to go back home. But you know what? They weren't going to go back home. They were actually going to go to another area because Jesus desired for them to go. Bethsaida was in the north east section of the Sea of Galilee. So if I was looking like this, I have to turn around because my map is backwards to you. So, all right, so it's up here, and then it hooks back around, and they end up over here. It's a long ways. Didn't plan for that. But Jesus had intentional plans. And it's one of the things in life that you've got to learn. You can be in the middle of God's will and not have your plan accomplished. Tomorrow you'll say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this and this. You know what? Always have that little phrase, if the Lord wills. And the anxiety will begin to go away. I've had lots of plans in my life that have been obliterated. And yes, I still carry some little bitterness on some things. Why didn't that work out? Or why did that take place? Why did this happen? But the Lord is in control of all. And when we learn as followers, not leaders of God, but followers of God, we learn that wherever he wants to take us is fine. How many of you as a child get used to sit in the back seat? And you might have asked the question 1,000 times, are we there yet? But you had no control on where dad or mom was going to take you, where your grandparents took you. My grandfather would take us all over the country on vacations. And even as a small child, if he told me where we were going, I didn't have a clue where that was. I just knew where we were going to go was going to be well worth going because Papa was there. If you knew my Papa, you'd want to go with him too. And so this is the thing about God. If we could just be comfortable. It's like, how many of you have seen the bumper sticker? Jesus is my co-pilot. I understand the sentiment. But in reality, Jesus is the pilot. We just get to ride along. You know, we think we're in control. You know, I used to have a vehicle that was, I thought I was in control until I started doing this all the time, and I couldn't control that, you know, that death, you know, thing. That I don't remember what they call that, but the death rattle, you know. Don't have that vehicle anymore, which is a good thing. But we think we're in control. We're not in control. God is taking us places. And even when you have your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, or your 1-week plan, God can change all of that for his own purposes. And sometimes you don't know why he changed it until years later. And sometimes, quite frankly, you never know. You just have to trust and be satisfied. So here he's put him in the boat. He says, you're going to go off to Bethsaida. Oh, we're going home. Great. And then the storm happens. He walks on the water. He gets in their boat. It calms down. And then they come to a totally different area that they were not planning on. But there's ministry to be done. They don't pause for a whole chapter to explain why. They just are satisfied, and they say, okay, They're on the shore of Gennesaret, to the southwest. And so verse 54 says, "And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him," which always amazes me. How do they know if they've not met him? How do they recognize him so immediately? You know, is there this glow about him? Have people described him so well? I mean, there's no cable news. There's no social media. There's no email, cell phone, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, TikTok, which is, I guess, going away. I don't know. And the people still got the word that Jesus was there, and they're rushing in. They recognize him. Which tells me a lot about Jesus. The way he carried himself was recognizable. I would trust that his followers would begin to be recognized as such as well. Would you agree? That when people see us, they go, that's a follower of Christ. They're recognizable by how they live, what they say, how they interact with people. So they recognize him in verse 55, and they ran about the whole region, it says in my translation, and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. This was quite a commotion. I mean, Jesus was getting kind of famous here. You know, hey, he's in town, let's go. And it's not just, you know, I care about myself, and so I want to go see him. You know, there are people that are sick and hurting that need him, so we're going to go everywhere to get everybody to wherever he is going to be. We want Jesus our friends and our family and our relatives and neighbors and all to be in the presence of Jesus because we have heard what he teaches and we have heard of what he does. He heals people, hurting, broken people, separated people, whether it's a demoniac or it's somebody with leprosy or someone who even died, he brings them back to life, that he can take a paralyzed man and forgive him of sins and then tell him to pick up his mat and walk. This is an amazing God who does incredible things, different than any scribe or Pharisee they'd ever seen or heard. He's getting kind of famous because he helps the hurting. I wish the church was famous in this world because they help the hurting. That all they want to do is bring people into the presence of Jesus. The church has so many reputations. Sometimes because of what we just talk about or display, and sometimes because of the media and other people who just like to mar the reputation of the church. But boy, wouldn't it be attractive to the world if they knew the church was a place of healing for the hurting? And it's not just the external things that people need healed. It's mostly the internal, the hurting of the heart, the sin that weighs them down, the mental anguish that they deal with because there's just all kinds of thoughts and different, you know, philosophies and the negativity of the world, and they just need the peace of Christ so they can have peace with Christ. Jesus brings hope and healing through his ministry. People are being brought to him. People are eager in this community to rub up next to him, to see what he might do for them. Where are these people hurting? Where are people hurting in our day? Certainly we've got some physical needs. We've got physical needs in this body right now. We've got people in the hospital right now. I found out this morning somebody's in the hospital that was in our service last week. We have people that are injured. We got people who are out of shape. We got physical issues there. We've got diseased bodies. We've got people who have to sit at home because their bodies are just unable to do what it normally would do, and there's not a fix at the doctor's office for it. We've got people who have broken hearts. How do you heal a broken heart? We have people with broken relationships, and how do you reconcile those broken relationships? We've got wrecked finances that are swallowing people up in our day. We've got all kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups that people are struggling with. Might they find healing and hope in Jesus? Might you find hope and healing in Jesus today? Do you know that Jesus can heal these difficulties? these hurts and things in the body? The question is, maybe you know it. Do you trust him to heal you? Have you surrendered all of your pains and difficulties and problems to him? These people were eager. Are we eager? And when it comes to the prayer list, when it comes to your own life, are you as concerned about others' hurts, habits, and hang-ups as you are about your own when you come into the presence of Christ? Have you found hope and healing in Christ enough that overflows, that begins to impact other people so that you don't go, well, we'll just pray for them? No. Are you eager to bring Jesus to them or help them come to Christ in his presence so that they may find the same security and certainty in Jesus that you have? You know, that when the ten lepers were sent to the priest to show that they were going to be healed, and in motion as they were running, all 10 of them were healed, but only one came back and thanked Jesus. There is a lesson there, that are we coming back and thanking Jesus? But also, from there, where do we go? Are there others we need to be telling and encouraging and testifying to about Jesus? Verse 55, it says, they ran. It wasn't just a passive walk. Hey, Jesus is in town. Maybe we'll get over there. Maybe we'll tell a few people. They ran about the whole region, going everywhere to bring everyone to Jesus, because Jesus can heal any person, anytime, any place, with any problem. Some of you are recovering from surgery. I'm thankful for the procedures that have been able to be done in our day and age. You know, there are things done today. It's just amazing. People think, well, it's just normal. No, what is done today in the medical field couldn't have been done, some of it, 20 years ago. Certainly 100 years ago. There are certain diseases you have today that if you would have had it 100 years ago, you would have just said, well, it was nice knowing you. We'll just pray that, you know, we'll see in heaven. Now, you go in for a day surgery and you've taken care of it. Or you begin to take this pill and you live another 30 years. It's amazing what God has allowed in our generation. Now, part of the difficulties of our generation is that we've got a lot of medical procedures that keep us longer alive, but the longer we live, the more pains and aches we encounter. You know, people didn't encounter some of the diseases and the difficulties we're having today because they didn't live long enough to experience it. So it's this catch-22 in some ways for some people. You know, God allowed me to live so long. Why am I dealing with this difficulty? Are you thanking him that he allowed you to live this long? Because it's one of these things. Do you want to experience the fullness of life, and even with the challenges that we have? Your body, by the way, was never designed to last forever. Do you know that? You realize, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us this body is a tent. How many of you like to go tent camping? If you've attended any of my funerals, I typically bring this up. You know, I love tent camping, but not everybody in my family appreciates it. But, you know, one of the first experiences, the reason why not everybody appreciates it, because one of the first times I took my family on a tent thing, and this is before we had children, so you understand what my family is without calling out names. All right, so my family went tent camping at the Grand Canyon in May. You know how hot it is in Phoenix, Arizona in May? And we drive up to the Grand Canyon. It's about 5 hours from Phoenix to go up to the Grand Canyon in northern Arizona. And we plant it. This is a Memorial Day weekend. So we get our tent out, and it's been hot. And the first night we're there, it rains, and it is about 40 degrees at the Grand Canyon. But I had reserved two nights. And do you think I got to stay the second night? Listen, this is what camping is about, yes? Anybody else with me? Camping is not buying a house on wheels. Though that can be fun. We did that as well. We went back to the Grand Canyon, 20 years later, and we got to camp in a house on wheels, but with about, you know, seven other family members. But, you know, the reason why it did not satisfy my entire family that first camping trip is because it just does not hold back the winds and the waves and the difficulties. But it can be fun along the way. Your body is a tent. It's a Coleman tent. and the winds and the waves and everything's going to batter against it, and it's not always going to be pleasurable. So you either make the best of it, or you just complain about it all the time. But the challenges are, you're not changing your tent. It's what you've been given, and it was never designed to hold up against everything. Eventually, the tent will be done. But God has promised that he's building us a mansion. He's building us something with his hands that is far greater. Our new bodies will not be a tent. It'll be a permanent thing like the temple. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was a tent, movable but never permanent. But when the temple was built, that was permanent. He's got something for us great. So in this world, we're going to have trouble. But God has a place for us. It's far greater. And you see here, these challenges that they're having medically, yes. I mean, some of you are in pain right now as you sit here. And I'm thankful. I'm looking out at faces. I know that it's a challenge even to be here this morning. Thank you for coming. Some of you are waiting for some procedures. Some of you are grieving the loss of a loved one, even if it's been a few months or years. You've got hurts. And even in grief, I'm reminded them, the only reason we grieve so much is because we learned to love so much. And God blessed us with that love. Some are feeling incredibly isolated in these days. And they need healing from that. Some people I've interacted with are living in fear. And I'm thankful that we could sing a song just a few moments ago. And Deborah did such a wonderful job singing that song. Thank you, Deborah. That fear no longer has a hold on us when we have Christ, yes? We come to Jesus. He is able to heal us of our wounds. So people are coming. To those in need, Jesus can be a great physician. The second observation, starting in verse 15,